Stand by. We'll get back to that because Ben Everill's been good enough to join us. PGA Tour Media Manager after a big week at Augusta National for the US Masters. Hideki Matsuyama making history. And Benny was all over it as always. Benny, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, pimento cheese is still pimento cheese no matter what you call it. It's still gross. So I understand where you're going with it.
It's all these highfalutin sports administrators who are trying to change things for the crazy kids out there, and it's not really working.
Patrons are fans or fans are patrons? I mean, we could go down this road for a while.
Yeah, there you go. At Augusta National, are very much patrons, as you well know. As you well know, and they would have been cock-a-hoop yesterday to see Hideki Matsuyama hold on, Benny, in quite dramatic circumstances, particularly the last four or five holes where it got a bit tight.
Yeah, look, it was obviously a massive day for the world of golf, the international scene of golf, with Hideki holding on and becoming the first Japanese male to win any major, let alone a green jacket. And I think, yeah, the people that were there, they really understood that this was a historic moment they were witness to, and perhaps, you know, something that people will look on for all of time. And, yeah, look, Hideki was always going to get a little nervous. He started nervous. He was able to then sort of stoically regather himself and had that five-shot lead for a while. Until Xander, the guy who I thought was going to have the stones to do it, put the heat on. Unfortunately for him, as soon as he really had a chance, he choked. And then Hideki was able to sort of cruise home and get it done just by a shot.
Because it could have been very different. I mean, coulders and wooders and all that sort of stuff was a bit of a waste of time at times. But had he landed one close on 16, Xander, it could have been a very, very dramatic finish.
Look, it's kind of unforgivable what Xander did, to be honest. I'm being a bit harsh. I love the guy. He's one of my favourites. I even spoke to him a few times earlier a few months ago saying I wish he was an Aussie because he's just got a great fighting spirit. But he could have hit that ball anywhere else but the water. And I'm telling you, Hideki would have had a hard time hitting his shot after it. He'd just gone three in a row. Hideki had admitted that he felt the need to press on 15 because of Xander's run. Ended up making a bogey trying to do that. Two shots and you've got the tee at 16 on the hole-in-one pin. You could have hit it up top bank. You could hit it anywhere that wasn't in the water, and I guarantee you Hideki would have had so much pressure on his shot that he may have made the mistake that Xander made. So, look, it was a massive moment. It took all the pressure off it. I'm not sure if the vision picked it up because I was out there, but Hideki took a big sigh of relief and the head went back. He was very happy to see that ball go in the water. Let me tell you, he was starting to really feel the heat. And it just helped him ease his way home. And I mean, I know that the scorecard says he won by one, but we know as soon as you put it in the fairway on 18, he was pretty much home and hosed. And despite the fact he needed to tap in for a bogey, that was the moment. That was the killer blow right there.
And I think, Ben, that was the fascinating part of the final round, was that so many players at the top of the leaderboard had never won a major before, let alone a Masters. So it was really going to be intriguing to see what sort of the quality of the golf in that final round, and in the end, it was just a hang-on job.
Yeah, look, what was really interesting to me is that there were all those guys, including our man Leish, who could have put the heat on. Everybody knew Hideki was going to be nervous. Everybody knew that he's probably at best going to shoot even par.
Yep.
So it was a matter of if you could get after it, you might be able to beat him. Now, immediately out of the gate, I don't know if Hideki's first drive was so far right that you thought, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
This could be a Norman. You know, this could be a shocker. And by the time he'd finished that first hole, his four-shot lead was one. But he was able to regather from there. And then things kind of got a little bit dull, to be honest. It looked like he was on a procession. And if it wasn't for the fact that we'd all sat and watched Spieth take a five-shot lead at the turn in 2016 and dump 10 balls into Rose Creek, it felt like, then we would have thought it was over. But just as it came to that spot, just as the scoring holes came, the only two guys that actually ever had a real crack was young Zalatoris and Xander. And we finally got some of that back nine, you know, excitement that we all crave at the Masters. And I'm glad we got that, but I'm also glad that Hideki did hold on in the end because, as I said, just a historic day. So great for Japan. And, look, I think I wrote in my story, you know, he was an idol before that. Now he's an immortal. He'd just be forever the greatest to them. And, you know, who knows? We might end up with him lighting the Olympic torch in Japan later this year. He's that bigger name there already.
Yeah, we were talking about that before. I mean, it's crazy just the significance of the win from that perspective. I'm interested, Ben, being out there on the course, how the course was set up, because we were commenting just yesterday about how the greens almost looked like Royal Melbourne there on the final day. They looked hard, they looked dry, they almost looked purple at times. And we spoke to Ian Baker Finch in the build-up to the Masters, and he forecast this was likely. It felt a bit different watching it this year.
1,000,000%. After DJ went 20 under in November, I'm surprised that Matsuyama even got to double digits in the end. We were expecting it might be much more difficult. And I think if we didn't have that little rain delay, which, of course, he took very much advantage of, he came out right after and made his six birdie run in seven holes, or six shots in seven holes, because he was just soft enough for that little bit of a period, because they've been sucking the air out of from the sub-air every other day, making that thing as close to dead as possible. We finally had the hard and fast Masters. We had that Royal Melbourne-style greens, obviously a little bit different setup with a lot more trees and azaleas, but it was a real test. And the greens there, they are, that's what they are. You have to have precision angles. You have to know where you're going. You have to know how to play it high or low. And that's why we usually get so many great champions there. You have to have it all. And look, Hideki, he joins the Green Jacket Club. He's a good mate of Adam Scott's, as you guys know as well. So if it wasn't going to be Leash, it's good that it's Hideki.
Can I ask you about this Will Zalatoris fella? Now, he's a 24-year-old from Wake Forest. He played really well in the US Open at Winged Foot, finishing, I think it was a tie for sixth or something there. And he's pretty good in the majors. He quite likes the big scene. He's inside the top 50. What's his scope? Because that's another big, impressive performance from him, finishing second.
Yeah, this kid seems to have it all at his feet. I mean, the world rankings are done on a two-year rolling basis. If you go back to his last ranking, he was over 2,000th in the world. So within 2 years ago, he was at 2,000th in the world. He's now 27. He came in through the Korn Ferry Tour over here, the secondary tour, had a win and a million top tens, it seemed, every week. Comes to the US Open, was top 10 there, has become a special temporary member on the PGA Tour, just few through top tens in that tour, and now he's runner-up at Augusta. Look, he was always a talent. He came up behind Jordan Spieth through the Texas system there, really getting a lot of money games with those guys as they were older. He's obviously a little younger than them, but he was always that upstart that they'd be trying to get money off, and he was taking it off them. So Jordan and those boys have said this kid was coming for a long time, and he announced himself on the scene well and truly yesterday. And look, the last guy to do that, to finish second on Masters debut, was Jordan Spieth. And the year after that, he went away with it, ran away with it and won it. So I'm not putting that past this kid. He's got all the skills and clearly didn't seem unflappable. I was saying to someone, look, Hideki won the Masters. I think you could make an argument that Xander may have lost the Masters, but I just think that Zalatoris got beat. He was pretty stoic. He was pretty good on that final round. He did what he could. If he made a mistake, it was a minimal one. It had nothing to do with nerves. So I think he's a fixture that we need to keep a red-hot eye on.
It seems like there's him, there's Morikawa, there's maybe Cameron Champ. There's quite a few that are in that same sort of age bracket that don't seem to get nervous. Their personalities are such that they actually crave the big moment, and Zalatoris openly talks about that.
Yeah, I think they want it. And look, we won't really truly know until we have 100% of fans back over here. I know that Morikawa won an event on the tour before we had COVID, but it was one of our smaller events. And I know that Wolf was the same. Again, no one of our smaller events. I want to see them in a major, down the stretch, with thousands and thousands of people screaming and yelling, because they haven't had to experience it yet. They came straight out of the college system where they were the big dogs. They had all the skills. There's five people and a dog watching them. To the tour where there's a handful of people instead of thousands and thousands of people. And it's made them comfortable, and they've gotten in a good spot. But once they hit the real deal, if they can show me they can get through that, then I'll be, way impressed at a whole nother level.
Yeah, he's got something to give, Zalatoris. Jordan Spieth, you mentioned as well. Great to see him back. He won the Texas Open last week, finishes in a tie for third this week. Him playing well is good for golf, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Especially without Tiger at the moment, with Tiger injured and whatnot at Augusta, Spieth has become that guy. It's almost like we had Arnold Palmer was the man that everyone was excited to see, the one that the fans really wanted to see do well. And then Phil Mickelson took that role for a long time, but he's starting to wind up. And Jordan Spieth now just gets the masses behind him. There weren't obviously the usual roars we had. We had very limited patrons this year, but where there were roars was Jordan. And, look, he's not at his best. He was good enough to win the Texas Open, like you said, against a half-decent field, and then he contended well and truly to finish third here at Augusta. I think he's still a little way to go to get to what we remember him as, but he's definitely on the path, and I'm excited for everybody involved. You know, if we get him back to his best, taking on these young guys and the others, then we've got a lot of excitement to come.
Did you chat to many of the Aussies post-round yesterday, see how they were feeling after their tournaments?
Yeah, look, obviously Leishman's the big one. He, you know, started fullback. He was really confident going into that final round that he could be the one to take down Hideki. And I really believed he could, but essentially the first six holes where he'd been so dominant across the first three rounds was the part where Leish had to make a move. He'd been 8-under total on those, well ahead of anyone else, any of the other contenders up to that point, but couldn't get it going on Sunday, and that had him treading water. He never gave up. He knew that we could still have a Rays Creek meltdown or something or else, but he just couldn't get his putter hot, couldn't quite get the speed dialed in like he wanted to. But look, he hasn't been that hungry. He's had a 12 months of sort of being real lethargic in his play, but he came off there really ready to go out again. And he said, look, I've got a major season coming. We've got to go to Kiowa next for the PGA Championship, which he did play back in 2012 and was, I think he was 27th or something like that. But after that, we go to Torrey Pines for the US Open, where he's won and had two runner-ups in the tour event there. And then we go, obviously, to Lynx Golf at the British Open, where he always contends because that's his specialty. So he's very, very hopeful that this will be the thing that kicks him into gear and gets him back to the top of his game. The other Aussies, well, they were just kind of out of it before the final round. The mullet, Cam Smith. You know, he had another top 10. He backdoored the top 10 there, and that means he'll be back there next year. Would have been anyway, because he's such a great player. But he just rued a few missed opportunities. And, of course, he had a massive double bogey on 15 when he was right in the mix coming before the weekend. So that was a big killer for him on Friday. He said if he had kept the momentum there, he really thought that he could have been right up amongst it. Outside of that, Matt Jones is pretty happy. But, you know, it was his first Masters in 7 years. Managed to sort of get around without any too much trouble and said he'll be better for the run. And, of course, Scotty was basically dead last of those who made the cut, whereas Jason Day didn't even make the cut. He's still struggling.
Poor old Jace, not to be for him, but it was for Hideki, a history-making performance yesterday at Augusta National. Great summary from you, as always, Ben. Appreciate your time, mate. Go well.
Anytime, boys. Thanks very much.